In 1887, an organization was formed in London with the express purpose of studying the occult in all its forms and shapes. Today, we might view the subject matter as paranormal or metaphysical, or maybe just a little bit odd. But in the late 19th century, it was at least slightly closer to acceptable to the general public. This group, known as the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, operated for almost two decades as a united society, but around 1901, things started to break down. As a result, there was a split, a fracturing of the order into at least four smaller groups, and one of them was known as the Alpha and Omega. By 1930, almost all of these groups were in steep decline, partly because of infighting and partly because of the modern world's refusal to believe in the sorts of forces and hidden secrets that these societies built their communities around. But some still held on. In fact, the last of them finally shut its doors as recently as 1978. In 1929, though, one of the members of Alpha and Omega went on a pilgrimage. Her name was Nora Marianetta Fornario, and she was driven by a deep interest in fairy lore. When she arrived on the island of Iona, off the western coast of Scotland, it appeared that she would be staying a while, judging by all of the luggage that she'd brought with her. She took up residence with a local woman named Mrs. McRae and began going on daily walks all over the island. She was researching something, she told her hostess, something powerful and dark. And while it was invisible to most eyes, this research was dangerous. For weeks, Fornario wandered across the island, all dressed up in black robes and brilliant silver jewelry. She would perform rituals designed to aid her research and would come back hours later, oftentimes long after sunset. And as the seasons changed, drifting from summer into fall, so did Fornario. She seemed to age slightly, as if she was carrying a heavy burden. Then, one morning, many weeks after her arrival, Fornario arrived at breakfast in a state of distress. Mrs. McRae remembers how the younger woman's jewelry was no longer bright and silvery, but black, as if it had been completely tarnished overnight. So she asked if anything was the matter. Fornario told McRae that she planned to leave that very same day. But before she could run upstairs and begin to pack for her departure, McRae broke the bad news that the boat to the mainland didn't run on Sundays. The young woman was overcome with rage. She claimed that she'd been under constant attack by unseen forces ever since her arrival weeks before. If she didn't leave soon, she said, she might never see London again, but with no boat to take her away from this place, she was trapped. Resigned to her fate, it seems, she went back out for another of her long walks. Fornario didn't return that morning. By the afternoon, a storm had rolled in, and McRae began wondering if the woman was safe. But still, she waited. Afternoon became evening, and soon enough, evening became morning. Only then did McRae go for help. She told others about Fornario's disappearance, and a group was gathered to search for the young visitor. Despite the island's small size, it still took the search party 2 full days. 2 days of scouring every inch of the island. 2 days of walking and shouting her name. 2 days of hope. And then, they stumbled upon a mysterious scene. There, in a shallow impression in a far-off field, a large cross-shaped symbol had been carved into the hard turf. The tool used was probably the unusual dagger that was found a few meters away. But despite the presence of a knife, there was no blood to be found. In the center of the scene, sprawled out on top of the cross, was Fornario's naked body. Later, a medical examination would fail to shed new light on the true cause of death. The results were inconclusive, drifting somewhere between death by exposure and sudden heart failure. Not unheard of, but certainly unusual for a 30-year-old woman. Exposure would be a better explanation, especially given the weather. But neither of these theories explain what was found on Fornario's legs and feet, long red scratches and cuts. It looked to everyone there as if the young woman had been running before she finally fell to the ground and carved the cross beneath herself. But whatever she'd been running from was impossible to guess. Whoever or whatever it was, Nora's killer will remain a mystery that only she could reveal to us now.